This is Sava FC with Antonio Scarano, Ben Joyner, and Anthony Valenti.
So, leading up to this week's derby, quote came out from Mourinho. Many quotes actually came out from Mourinho, but this one just stuck with me. You can't expect a manager with 25 titles to respond to one who has won Serie B twice. If it was Trapattoni or Capello, that's one thing. But Zeman, please.
That's fantastic.
Right? You know anything about Zeman, Ben?
Not really, no.
Okay. Zeman is, like Mourinho said, won Serie B twice. Did he coach the national team, Ant?
I don't remember. I don't recall. I don't remember even hearing that name until about 5 seconds ago.
Zeman's obviously in the media now, and he's involved in a lot of things. But he always has these harsh criticisms of non-Italians. Obviously, Mourinho being a non-Italian, he gets criticized. And Mourinho, you know how he is. You saw what he's like in England.
Yeah.
When he has enough, he has enough. And he's just like, hey, you can't say anything to me. He goes, I've won more Champions League than you've won titles.
That's why he calls himself the special one.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just funny to see that. And for years, we hadn't seen a derby between Roma and Lazio be so amped up. Mourinho finally did such a good job of getting everybody excited to watch this derby. Because I usually don't watch, and I ended up watching.
Well, I think it's mostly because of his comment from last week after they won.
It wasn't last week. It was the same week.
It was the same interview?
It was on Thursday that they won. Wednesday or Thursday that they play the Conference League, right?
Yeah. And that's where Mourinho said, they asked him if he was happy for advancing, and he says, no, I'm not happy. We're sitting here playing. Lazio's sitting in their living room smoking cigarettes.
It was because he said, and this is one thing that he subtly does, Mourinho, he's unhappy with the squad. He wants new players. So every time he gets his chance, they ask him in the interview that Ant brought up, they're like, well, you know, are you happy for advancing? He's like, no, because on Sunday, my guys that played the whole game today have to play again on Sunday.
Right.
He goes, so I'm not happy about it. Meanwhile, Lazio's at home smoking cigarettes with Sarri.
Yeah.
He's playing the game, isn't he?
Yeah, he's playing the game real well.
Pushing the buttons.
But Roma won.
They did.
Tammy Abraham breaks records.
Unbelievable. The kid, I mean, 3 goals this week. He scored one in the Conference League game.
Yep.
And then 2 yesterday against Lazio. It's just always right place, right time. And he looks good, man. He's going to be a huge addition to the England squad.
You want to know what the kicker is? He hasn't been healthy all season long.
I was just going to say, he's finally healthy, isn't he?
He's healthy now.
Yeah.
Now he's healthy.
That's dangerous, right? He's healthy and he's just...
Yep,
unstoppable.
He just surpassed Batistuta for most goals scored as a striker in your first season. Between all competitions, Tammy Abraham is now 22 goals scored. So it's impressive.
That's a good return.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Now, again, another Mourinho interview.
Yeah.
Well, I want your opinion, being an Englishman. When they were first talking about Tammy Abraham coming to Roma, Mourinho said, the fact that he left England tells me all that I need to know. He goes, because a lot of English players refuse to leave. They like being where they are.
Yeah.
He goes, so the fact that he's leaving and coming to a foreign competition tells me he wants the national team. He's ready to win something. He's ready to grow. He goes, he's done being comfortable in his little environment and going from, you know, those couple teams getting go on loans. Yeah. He goes, he wants to be somewhere, win, and cement himself. Do you agree with what Mourinho said there?
I do agree.
Really?
Yeah. Even since the 80s, we've only had like one or two players ever go across.
Okay.
They've done well, but it's not many. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
They always like to stay at home.
And it's true. You never see those English players leave, but just seeing the impact that Abraham's having on Roma, like I could only imagine if another English player came over, like they really could start being viewed differently all over the world.
Yeah. Gives them another chance, doesn't it? I mean, last year had a couple of players from Man United as well, didn't you? Ashley Young was over there before.
Yes, but so what's been happening in Serie A is we've been getting a lot of players past their prime.
Yeah.
Players that like are on, you know, the
decline.
Yeah, the bottom of the depth chart, and Manchester United, Arsenal, whoever, they need to get those players off their contracts. So they send them out on loan.
So how do they do, though, when they come over when they're on their last legs in the Premier League and they come to Serie A, do they succeed?
Smalling is a starting center back for Roma.
Right.
Just so you know.
A few weeks ago.
But he's made a comeback. I mean, Smalling was always good.
Oh, yeah.
Had a dip. But I mean, I'm impressed he went to Italy.
Smalling, to get his career back on when track. Smalling first came to Roma, he did not look good.
No.
He was being played sparingly. And then Smalling just took over that starting position, and he looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
He looks really good.
No, he's always been a good player.
But does that bring the point up of what Ben said a few weeks ago, that Serie A, the competition level, is nowhere near as high as it is in the Premier League? So as a declining player, he can come over and be phenomenal. But as a player in your prime, like Abraham, completely dominate when healthy, 100%.
I'd say my own opinion, it is slower, the Italian.
The pace is slower. So that's 100%.
Helps out if you're getting older and everything else, it probably helps you out there. But with Tammy Abraham, for him to do it, it's more defensive league, I would say.
Yes.
You may disagree.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
It's a different challenge, different tactics and everything else. And he's proved himself, which is highly impressive.
It's easier to score in the Premier League than it is in Serie A. For Abram to have scored 22 goals in his first season, that's impressive.
Right.
You know, we were talking about Osimhen before, right before the podcast. He's been with Napoli for 2 seasons now, and I think he's at the 14, 15 goal mark.
Yeah. Right?
He hasn't hit 22 goals in all competitions. Abram's special, man. He's going to be a different type of player for Roma, and especially if they continue to build around him. I'm talking about Champions League winners probably within the next 2 to 3 years.
How are most of his goals coming?
So most of his goals, I mean,
it doesn't matter. They're coming from all sorts of directions. Headers, tap-ins.
Right, but the most important thing is at the right place at the right time. He's always on the other end of a crossed ball. He's always on the other end of a pass coming angled towards you from the end of the box. Like, it's just one of those things that they know how to play with him. They're looking for him, but he also knows where to be. His work ethic is unbelievable. The guy never stops.
No, he's always been a good player. Yeah.
I'm surprised that Chelsea let him go, man.
Well, about it. Think about Chelsea's roster. Where do you fit him?
Well, he was playing, wasn't he?
He was.
Well, yeah, Lampard was there. He was playing all the time. He was scoring goals. Then they bring in Werner.
Right.
Suddenly it takes time away from him. Then we got Lukaku. Suddenly you got no place to play.
Right.
And then, didn't they send him on loan somewhere beforehand as well?
The year before.
That was the year before.
The year before, yeah, when he got started.
And that's the thing that kills me. So, when Mourinho was at Chelsea years ago, the one thing he would say is like, he would say, Mr. Abramovich, I want, you know, he was joking around saying like, I want Drogba, like, go get me Drogba. And Abramovich was like, well, why do you want Drogba? And he goes, you don't need to know why I want him. I'm just telling you, you need to get him for me and we will win. And Drogba did all these things for Chelsea while Mourinho was there, right?
Yeah.
Mourinho's gone as far as saying is that Abraham's going to be a more complete player than Drogba was. That's how high Mourinho views him.
That's a big statement.
That is a big statement.
That is a big statement.
But that's how Mourinho views him. When Abraham was 18, 19 years old, there's interviews. You could go back and watch them with Mourinho. And they were saying, like, you need to address the striker problem. You need to address the striker problem. He goes, I don't. He goes, I have an in-house solution, but I'm not allowed to use them. And he, like,
something
was going on, the politics of soccer, whatever it may be. He goes, I can't use the guy I want to use. I already have him. He's here, but I can't use him.
And that's probably why he came to Rome, knowing that Mourinho was going to be there, knowing how much Mourinho loves this kid. That's why he... Yeah, no, I mean, so think about that,
probably
right?
Probably followed Chelsea afterwards and everything else. Right. Saw how he was doing.
Think about that little tidbit, right? Come July, when the transfer market opens up, how many players are going to want to flood to Rome
to
play for him?
A lot.
Yeah. They're going to be dangerous next season.
I'm telling you, Rome is in a position to where if they actually get Mourinho what he needs, can win a Champions League in 2 to 3 years. It'll be the quickest turnaround we've ever seen in a new coach.
No, not
that. I think that's a brave statement.
Yeah, because the quickest turnaround was Tuchel when he came in halfway through the season and won the Champions League.
Plus, you're going to need a lot of money to win it.
Hold up. We're talking about Italy, guys. We're not talking about all of Europe. We're talking about
Italy. I'm just saying you're going to need a lot of money to get there.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you're going to need some Saudi money coming in.
Listen, I'll say this. I just love the genius things that Mourinho does. Like, obviously, we talked about his press conferences, saying stuff like that, amping up his players, getting the best out of his players. But he also sees things that the rest of us don't. And I'll never forget when he was at Inter Milan. You have Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who at the time, you know, he was still a good striker. He still is at 40, but he was in his prime then. Mourinho comes in and he goes, no, we're not going to win with you. And he sends him back into Barcelona, gets them to send him Samuel Eto'o. Barcelona thought they're making out with a steal there because they're giving up Eto'o for Ibrahimovic. Ibra lasts 1 year at Barcelona. Meanwhile, Eto'o won a Champions League with Inter Milan.
Yeah, it's because Messi said, I don't want to play with him anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the genius of Mourinho. Like, he made that happen. He saw things that nobody else was seeing. Like, really? You want to get rid of our top scorer? Like, that's who you want to send away? Yeah.
What about this kid, Cisse? What's his name? How do you pronounce it?
Mustafa Cisse.
Yeah. What's the story with him?
Yesterday, so Atalanta Bologna, 1-0 game. The game was very back and forth. You know, as a Napoli fan, obviously hoping Atalanta loses. But 80th, I think it was like the 80th, 85th minute, something along those lines. Mustafa Cisse hits the game winner. I'm like, Cisse, who is this kid? So I start looking on the internet. He is a new 18-year-old signing for Atalanta. But then the wheels started turning. I go, how is he a new signing if the transfer market ended over 2 months ago, right? Yeah. It's like something doesn't make sense here. So I started looking into him. This kid 4 weeks ago was playing 8th division Italian soccer, okay?
He was a refugee team, right?
Yeah, they had a refugee team that they entered onto into the campionato. I forget the word in English now, but so into the tournament. There we go. So he's on this team, and they were playing a friendly. I forget who it was against. I want to say maybe it was like Lazio or somebody. Somebody's like youth squad or something like that. Atalanta had its scouts there. They saw this kid. They liked him. They signed him. They bring him on to Atalanta, start playing him on the youth squad. He starts scoring goals. Atalanta starts having a striker issue. If you remember, everybody got hurt except Luis Muriel.
Yep.
They bring him up. They like what he's doing at training. Gasperini decides to keep him on the first squad. Yesterday, they need a sliver of hope to win this game against Bologna. They throw him on as a sub in the second half. Scores the game winner. 18 years old.
That's what it's all about. That is what it's all about.
That's why we watch this game, man. And this is why it brings me back full circle to that theory on requote that was going around a couple weeks ago, right? They asked him, what would you be doing if you weren't a professional footballer? He goes, I'd be an amateur footballer, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so.
And she says, but you're not going to, you'd be broke.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Look at this, an amateur footballer, right?
Yeah.
He was a refugee. He was just, listen, looking for asylum. He was okay with being broke and just playing football, being happy.
That's it.
Is now on one of the biggest stages in the world.
Right.
Like, Atalanta's no joke of a team. It's unbelievable.
And it's good on the manager that to play him. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It takes bravery to do that.
It does. You don't see that often, do you? Especially being that he's 18 years old. 18. He's never seen that type of competition in his life before.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's a fantastic story.
He's going to be a star, yeah.
But, I mean, even if you look at the goal, the way he snuck in behind one of the defenders, okay? They pass the ball to him, turns to his left side, and then shoots it into the back of the net. It just took such poise and control, and it's like, you were playing for a refugee team 4 weeks ago? Like, how? It just doesn't make sense.
Probably never had the opportunity before, did he? Do you know what I mean?
It's a great story.
Never been seen unless this happened, you know?
Right.
But listen, Atalanta, either they're lucky or the rest of Italy needs to learn from their scouting department, because over the years, they've made some of the craziest signings and they've all panned out. Like, just to name a few, you guys remember Papu Gomez, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Alejandro Gomez? They paid $4.5 million for him. That was it. For a player like that, who at one point was valued over 40, 50 million, especially in the Premier League, Ben. The Premier League was going crazy after him, after he had that one good season at Atalanta. Their striker, Ilicic, they signed him for $6.5 million. This is peanuts in the world of today's wages, right? Hatteboer, $1 million. Darun, $1 million. Their defender, Jim City, free. Got him for free.
Where are they getting most of their players from?
The 8th Division Refugee Center.
Listen, most of their players, they'll either sign from other Italian teams, but mainly they sign for their youth academy and bring them up through their youth academy.
Oh, okay. It just seems like a lot of these players have been overlooked by other...
Which can happen.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? Look at the thing. Toloi, right? Their center back. $3.9 million. And this is an Italian guy. Toloi plays for the Italian national team. Mancini, who's the center back for Roma right now. They signed Mancini back then for $2
million. Right.
Like, it's just crazy. Freuler. Freuler's been hitting rockets, right? Great shot. Good player. $2.1 million. Petagna, who's now on Napoli. $1 million. Their most expensive signing was their forward, Zapata, for $26 million. Wow. And if they wanted to turn around and sell Zapata today to any other team, they probably could get $50, $60 million for him.
Yeah. Teams are trying to buy him in the summer.
Who?
Teams are trying to buy him in the summer. Oh, yeah.
I mean, listen, that's...
Didn't West Ham go after him?
A lot of
teams went after him.
The Premier League was... they're very interested in him because he has that... He's a faster Lukaku. Let's put it that way.
Gotcha.
That's what people like about him and probably in the Premier League. He has that type of play style, so it'll be fitting. He could do well there.
Right.
He's actually been struggling in Italy a little bit with all of its injury issues.
Yeah, he's been pretty banged up.
He has, he has. Listen, man, I mean, so you got Abraham, who's what, 22, 23?
Yep.
Doing what he's doing for Roma. You got Mustafa Cisse exploding onto the scene for Atalanta. You got Victor Osimhen, another 22-year-old, doing big things for Napoli. Scored 2 goals this past weekend.
Yep.
All right? 2 goals the weekend before. If only he could have scored one against AC Milan. But.
If only. And then next year, AC Milan's going to be even tougher to beat because rumor has it that Salah might be going to AC Milan.
Did you hear this?
It's a brave statement.
Oh yeah, I
very
saw.
Brave.
I'm not making it up.
Do I? He wants $500,000 a week.
Yeah, Milan's not going to be able to pay him. I swear, he dreams things at night says them.
No way.
Is it that coffee again?
I will pull it up and put it on the site so everybody can see it.
Fantasy rumors.
Nope.
If anything, I could see him going back to Roma.
Well, you had mentioned that a while back. I could see that too.
And you guys call me crazy. Listen, I was right about the Vlahovic thing, right? Anthony called me a while back. This is before even January transfer market hit. And he goes, hey, so rumors are Vlahovic is going to be leaving Italy. If you want to get rid of him in your fantasy soccer league, like, I'll trade you for him. I'll use him for the last couple of weeks. And I was like, no, I'm good. He's not leaving. He's going to Juve. And immediately he goes, you're crazy. He goes, he can't go to Juve. Juve can't afford him. He goes, there's no way he's staying in Italy. He wants to leave. He has a contract done with Arsenal, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, that's fine. You can say what you want, but he's going to Juve.
Yeah, but I think that was because of the agents, wasn't it?
They'd already taken the agents wanted another $50 million on top of that.
But either way, there are certain things that I read and that I trust that make it seem like it's going to happen that way. And we knew about him going to Juve probably back in October. I'm telling you, if Salah doesn't sign with Liverpool, we're going to see him back at Roma under Mourinho.
No.
Okay. Okay.
I can't. Am I going to pay $500,000 a week? Tell me that.
He might not agree to that high of a wage. He might agree to a lower wage at Roma, but they might work something on the back end with sponsorships.
Unless they get him for free. I mean.
Listen, Ben, we'll
if it's
have
for
to
free,
see.
Then it's a different matter, isn't it?
We'll have to see. I would love nothing more to see him back at Roma. I think he could finally win something with that squad. And while they're at it, bring Alisson back too. Give Roma back Alisson.
He's definitely going to go. He would have signed a contract to him.
Yeah,
but I don't know where he's going to go.
Liverpool icon edges closer to Anfield exit with AC Milan serious about contract offer. See, I'm not making things up.
Yeah, but who wrote it?
The Sun.
Express.
I think you typed that out yourself.
I wish I could do that.
We'll have to see.
I'm sorry, Ant. I just don't see it happening.
No.
I can't. Where do you fit AC, you know, Salah and AC Milan anyway?
Well, you get rid of the two aging strikers.
Salah's not a striker, though. He's a winger.
He's a winger. And you bring in one of the young kids to put up top, and then you have Rafael Lau on side, him on the other. You'd play a false nine. See you later. Thanks for coming.
Well, there's rumors of AC Milan actually going after Scamacca as well.
Yes.
So
saw that too.
If they ended up getting Scamacca, I don't know if that team would be built for Salah. That's what I just don't see.
I don't think it is. I don't think he's a good fit there.
No.
I'm just telling you what I read. I really don't think he's a good fit there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's just the more I think of it, the more it doesn't make sense. See, that's why I like Roma. I really like the way Roma's designed for him, but right. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be going there either.
Right.
I think he'll go to PSG.
No.
I think that would be the worst mistake of his career if he goes there.
Could be, but they're going to lose Mbappe.
Yeah.
They are, but man, let me tell you, I wish teams like PSG didn't exist. They take the fun out of soccer.
If you're like in your prime of your career and you want to just throw it away, you know where to go. Right. Go to PSG.
Or Italy.
Unbelievable. I mean, I don't know. Tammy Abrams is pretty successful.
I don't get where all this crap talking comes from because, like,
I think it's just so he's still sour about
the Euro Cup, right? Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Oh, oof.
It's like, look, your league may get more money, but
add players.
Your homegrown players don't compete against ours. I don't understand how that makes sense.
What do you mean?
England's national team players against Italy's national team players.
Well, we'll see in the World Cup.
We won't be there. I hate to say it, but this is giving me Ventura vibes all over again. For whatever reason, we're going to miss out on the World Cup.
It's a big week for you too.
Yeah, it is. We're going up against who? North Macedonia, right?
Yep.
So that means, my favorite player from Napoli, Elif Elmas, won't even be playing.
You mean Jamie Tart?
Yeah. Elif Elmas is suspended, so he won't even be on the field for that match.
Oh, so maybe Italy does have a chance.
Against North Macedonia? Please, we should have a chance by playing our under-18
team. That's the problem with Italy, right? They'll play teams like that and struggle.
Yeah.
And then play teams like England and win. They play up and down to their competition.
Yeah.
And they don't have that luxury right now.
I think you're better when you get to the tournament, like you're a tournament team.
Right.
Like qualifying doesn't do it for your player sort of thing.
It depends because we've had very easy qualification rounds in the past. This year has actually been a little bit tougher. Italy's always been that team, though, that when nobody believes in them, that's when they do well. The second you start talking about Italy being a good team, like England, for example, England can handle the pressure. They may not ultimately win the whole thing, but they'll give you at least what you expected out of them. They'll get to a semi or a final. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I agree with you there. Yeah.
If Italy is one of the favorites projected to get to the final, they're going out the first round. That's just Italy. Like, they can't handle the pressure. It's unbelievable.
Pressure's there, away they go.
Yeah. But say that Italy has no chance. They're not going to advance. You know, it's not the, this isn't the best Italy squad we've seen in years. Somehow they win the whole thing. Ben, it makes no sense. And it's been like that my whole life.
But they played the best, didn't they, in the Euros? They played the best stuff.
I feel like we did play the best in the Euros up until a certain point.
Until you played Spain?
I believe, it was Spain. And then from Spain, we went on to England. I think you kind of started seeing it against the Belgium game, in the Belgium game as well. I'm sorry, can't talk today. We weren't playing as good as we were early on in the tournament. That's about the time Immobile stopped scoring. So I figured, okay. I feel like other teams found out how to shut down Immobile, took him out of the game, and then our play wasn't as fluid, and it got us into trouble. And if you really think about it, we only won those games in PKs. If it weren't for PKs, which to me, you can't ever convince me otherwise, PKs are not skill, they are luck. Okay? That's the way I view them. So we could have easily went home just as we could have easily, as we won.
I'm not a big fan of PKs. I don't think a final should be won on PKs.
Probably there's no other way to do it, is there? That's the thing.
I agree with PKs. I like the idea of, okay, you went into overtime, nobody could score, we're going to penalty kicks. I agree with that. But again, it's more luck than skill, in my opinion.
How about like that gold? What was it? The golden goal, right? Where you play the first goal, done. I think that's better than, you know, sitting there taking PKs. Like, what was that game that they went 9, 10 rounds before we had a winner?
But the issue with golden goal is you might get through your regular, 120 minutes. And then what do? Do you allow more subs? Are you able to change out your entire team?
I mean, there's got to be some sort of rule
Right, but like, can you take players that you've taken out? Can you put them back in the game now? Like, if you start to go over a certain amount of time, there's got to be rules that allow you to rotate your whole squad for it. As much as I agree with the golden rule, a golden goal rule, we are not set up right now to be able to use it accordingly. It's only in those 120 minutes, and then if nothing happens, go to PK.
What if they do that, the golden goal rule? You call out the ticket number for a fan to jump in. That'll make it fun for everybody.
Oh, that's excellent.
All right.
Let's go on a break. And when we come back, we'll go over the scores of Serie A and Premier League and who had the most correct picks.
Sounds good to me. Last week's scores. I got to say, I think we're getting pretty good at this. We're starting to get a little bit of a knack for getting some games right.
I think so.
I'm not too sure about that. Maybe you two. It looks like I've had a poor week.
Ben, it happens. Listen, that was like me a couple of weeks ago. But by the way,
did Anthony actually write the scores down properly, though?
I did. Sure? I did. I got them right.
Did you change mine?
I just want to say, we jinxed every single Champions League team.
We did.
Except for Chelsea. And because the reason Chelsea didn't get jinxed is because Anthony continued to say that they were going to get relegated by the end of the season.
Can you remind me of Juventus' score?
Yeah, so Juventus lost to Villarreal 3-0, I believe.
That's correct.
How was that taken in the press over there?
To be honest, whenever Juve loses in Champions League, the press doesn't really kill them that bad, especially in a game like this. I mean, Juve played. They played well. It was just the final score does not reflect the way the game went.
What happened to the big striker? Huh? Hey, makes me happy to see him not score.
Listen,
I think what's going on there is not the actual players. I think it's the coaching. It's too old-fashioned for a new style.
But, see, that's the thing against Villarreal. They played attacking football. The thing is, you guys remember that Inter-Liverpool game in Anfield where, like, all the posts and crossbars in the world were hit?
Yeah.
That's what Juve was going through in the first half. Juve should have came out of that first half up 3-0, I think. At least from what it seems like. You know, and I mean, listen, Vlahovic had this beautiful shot where he was able to turn his body, put it on goal. Rulli made a save on it. That's the other thing, too. Villarreal's goalkeeper was on fire. I don't know what he took before the game, but if he played like that every game, Villarreal would win La Liga, Champions League, and whatever else they wanted to.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How many Italian teams are left in the Champions League?
None. We're all gone.
Yep.
We have Atalanta in the Europa League, yep. Right? And we have Roma in the Conference League. So we have two Italians representing us, but none in the Champions League.
How many English teams?
With the English teams, you still have Chelsea, Man City. Is it Arsenal? No, Arsenal's not in
Liverpool.
There.
Next season,
that's right.
Three teams.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. You look at those three English teams, they've spent more money than any other team in the past, maybe, what, 3-4 years?
I'm sure, yeah.
If you really think about it. Italians, we can't compete on that level yet. You guys are just spending so much money. It's like back in the day when Real Madrid and Barcelona used to spend all that money, right?
Well, no, it's like back in the day when Italy used to spend all the money. You had all the best players.
Yeah, back in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, you dominated for years.
Yeah.
We only did that with AC Milan, I thought. Did we not?
No, Inter had teams, Juve had teams.
You had the best players in the
world. Yeah.
But we weren't, when we had... when Inter was making their runs and Juve, I believe, had won once in the 90s, we weren't overspending. What I'm saying is AC Milan, though, they were known for overspending and getting in debt, having to sell those players off 1 to 2 years later because they couldn't afford them anymore. Manchester City, Liverpool, if you look at what they do, they also overspend, but in today's day of football, it's a little bit different. They're still able to keep those players on.
Right, because of the way they get their profits.
Right. So that's the main difference. I mean, yes, you have to spend to win. There's no denying that. But I think it was different in the 80s and the 90s, even the early 2000s, compared to where it's at today.
Well, also, too, though, you got to think about in the 90s, the type of players that were playing in Serie A, you're talking about Ronaldo. Not Cristiano Ronaldo, Brazilian Ronaldo. Gullit, Frank Rijkaard. Yeah, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You know, so these guys weren't cheap.
Players.
Yeah.
Del Piero, Kaká, Shevchenko, Maldini, Nesta, Costa Curta. Who else?
Well, you're talking about Italian. I'm thinking international players that were coming into play.
You don't get them kind of players anymore. I mean, we got the big players in England, but they're like superstars that you've just read off there. And it all goes in circles.
Absolutely.
Next two or three years, sure. It'll come back.
And then we were talking about Chelsea still being in the Champions League, and I kept on saying that they were going to go to their next game on horse and carriage. But it looks like all the bids have been placed on Friday, and yeah. It might be SMG that might be in the front runners. Saudi,
was that SMG?
Saudi Media Group.
Okay.
They put their bid in for $3.5 billion.
Wow.
And I know Nick Candy got his money together and put a bid in as well. Personally, I think it would be better for the club if Nick Candy was running it.
Yeah.
And the league. Because you don't want to have two teams that are over. I mean, that's a good point. You have too much money, you know?
Not too much. Well, they have two Saudi, you know, groups.
Who's the other Saudi group? Newcastle?
Newcastle, yeah. So, but they got declined the first time, didn't they?
They did. I wonder if that's going to play an issue. I mean, realistically, I always saw Candy getting this bid from the way the media wants it anyway.
Yeah.
Looks like they want Candy to get the bid. I don't know, man.
We'll see. They said by the end of March, they will have a new owner. And it looks like if that's the case, Chelsea will be saved.
I'm sure there'll be some more twists and turns.
I'm hoping.
I'm still waiting for Conor McGregor's bid. I'm waiting for Conor McGregor to come out there and buy this team.
Publicity, whatever.
We made some picks last week.
Oh, yeah. All right. So let's get down to it. So Inter-Fiorentina, not a single one of us got it right, okay? That game ended up being a 1-1 tie, which is great for the Serie A race right now, okay? Because now even if Inter does win their makeup game, they will be tied with AC Milan. So it'll keep everything extremely close. Listen, Fiorentina has proven, and they were one of my dark horses earlier on in the season, they might not finish in fifth place, but they might finish in a European spot. And they're proven that they can continue to play without Vlahovic. So I'm very impressed with them. Happy to see an American owner, Comiso, you know, come in and do some good things with that team. Took some time, but he's doing well. Milan Cagliari, obviously, you guys got this right. I did not. I wanted nothing more than to see them tie or lose, but Milan ended up winning 1-0. Who was it that scored, Ant?
Bennacer, beautiful goal.
Yeah, Bennacer had a nice goal out of the box, right? Right outside of the box, ended up going in.
Beautiful volley.
So that was a good game. Milan should have won. They did end up winning. Seeing them 3 points ahead is tough. Although, Ben, what's the gap in the Premier League? How many points between first and second?
I think it's 1 point now.
They've brought it down to 1 point.
It is 1 point.
1 point, yeah.
Between
Man City and Liverpool. 70-69.
So think about that. The Premier League now is actually closer than Serie A is.
Yep.
That's unbelievable. Crazy.
After Christmas, everybody was locking up Man City.
Yeah, right. They were 12 points clear.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, they're choke artists. I've always said that about Man City. They're choke artists. So
they've got to play each other soon, so.
Yeah.
That'd be a decider.
And they'll choke. That's okay.
Oof, not sure.
But
what was next on the list there?
So we had Juve Salernitana, which I actually got the score right of this game. It was 2-0 final score. Listen, man, Juve's good. We know that.
Yep.
But for whatever reason, they can't play those games where they score 6-7 goals a game. They just can't. They score their two goals and they sit back and defend. So, you know, Salernitana's a relegation side team. Juve did what they had to do against them. Napoli Udinese, this game was I don't even know how to describe it, but just a panic attack the entire time.
Right. First half ended 1-0.
Right. I thought Napoli was going to lose it for sure. Instead, Osimhen comes back, single-handedly wins Napoli the game in the second half. And, you know, he could have had two more goals, but they got called offsides, is what it is. He single-handedly took the game into his own hands, and we ended up winning that game 2-1. Then my favorite of the weekend, Roma-Lazio. Roma-Lazio, we two out of the three of us ended up getting it right. But that was the three own goals from, what was his name?
They had to edit that out so nobody got to see it, but they were beautiful.
Nah, man.
Philippe Anderson?
Philippe Anderson, that's who it was. Look, it was a good game. And the fact that they kept Lazio from scoring, because in all of our predictions, we had predicted at least one goal from Lazio. That's incredible. So the Roma's starting to look like the real deal. Tammy Abrams starting to look like the real deal. I was impressed watching them play. The one thing I do have to touch on. So 2 weeks ago, we discussed about how Verona fans are going to be banned from watching their team play.
That's right.
So same thing might end up happening to Cagliari now.
Right. And they should be.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if any of you were watching the Milan Cagliari game, but again, Cagliari fans in Sardinia were chanting racist things towards Maignan and Tomori. And at one point, Keita Balde, a black Cagliari player, had to walk up to Maignan and just hugged him. And he hugged him and held him and was like, it's okay, man. It's okay. Don't let him get to you. Cagliari, you should be banned for the next year because they are continuously doing this every time.
It's ridiculous. I thought we were past that, but we're not.
No. And you know what? Cagliari, they're an island to themselves in Italy, right? FIFA, keep them on that island. Right. Don't allow their fans to ever travel anywhere else ever again because they don't deserve it. Right. They're inconsiderate, racist people. That's it.
That's it.
And it happens once, fine, you learn from it. But the fact that it's them year after year after year after year, cancel their soccer team, relegate them to Serie B, C, whatever. Make them suffer because you can't have people doing that in this day and age. So, yeah, unfortunate. Now, cross the pond over to England.
What did you call last week? Tea time with Ben?
Tea time with Ben.
Tea time with Ben, yes.
Bring us through it, Ben.
You got your tea and biscuits. Looking at the scores. All right. So, Brighton versus Spurs. Not happy with this result at all. Spurs won 2-0. Anthony?
I know. I got that one right.
You got that one right? But not the score. I didn't get it right. I'd say no.
No, I thought Brighton was going to win, man.
Yeah. So, that's a big win for Spurs. And then the next game, might have to skip this one, but we'll go through it. Arsenal versus Liverpool.
I do want to touch on this game a little bit before we move on. The first half was awesome, back and forth. Mm-hmm. But it seemed that both teams were content with ending the game in a tie. Second half starts, Arsenal starts putting pressure, taking shots, and almost like Liverpool got offended. They put in Salah, and that was it.
No, I've got to correct you a little bit there.
Do you? Go ahead, correct me.
Odegaard should have scored.
Mm-hmm.
And then Liverpool went and got 2 goals in 3 minutes.
That's right.
If Odegaard had scored, I think the game would have been completely different. It's all about taking your chances.
But you don't think in the first half they were playing for a tie? They were playing really, you know, reserved, I think, both teams.
They probably would have settled for a tie, both of them.
Yeah.
You said before, last week, Liverpool grind you, don't they?
Yeah.
Like I said, they can either be at the beginning or not. They'll grind and get it right at the very end.
Right. And that's the thing about Liverpool that's scary is because, like we said, Arsenal looked like they were playing for a tie. It gives Arsenal hope. Then they come at you at that second half and just... Go ahead, Ant.
Now that I think about it, you get talking about grinding. Maybe Klopp got scared because Salah wasn't supposed to play. He's a little banged up. He wasn't supposed to play.
So Salah was about to come on and Liverpool scored, didn't they?
Yeah.
But... Listen, we look at Liverpool as this full-functioning machine that just doesn't stop. Like you said, of course these things go through Klopp's head. Of course he gets scared. He doesn't want to lose either. But there's certain things that he has to keep up with and do. And if it meant for them to play Salah, to risk Salah a little bit to win that game, he would have done it.
Sure.
You know?
All right. So the other scores in Aston Villa versus Arsenal. Arsenal make a comeback and win.
Yep.
1-0.
I mean, we all called Arsenal winning that game. I think we all expected a few more goals there. I didn't realize you guys were playing in Italy this weekend.
Well, we did.
You know? But guess who came through again for like the 7th week in a row?
Yeah, Saka. Yeah. He's
special, man.
He is special and he's carrying him. Now, this game, I like this one. Wolves versus Leeds. Wolves were 2-0 up. Leeds come back to win 3-2.
In the last 10 minutes of the game, correct?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Really unbelievable.
We'll never have seen that. Especially as soon as it went 2-0 down, you think it's 5-6 and everything else.
Right.
I think the only person to get it right is Anthony.
Yeah. Anthony called Leeds winning. Honestly, Ben, you and I, we both said, you thought Wolves were going to destroy Leeds. I thought the Wolves were going to be in a close game with them, but...
Well, they were for a little bit.
Right. How does that happen?
It makes no sense.
None.
And then the next one we've got, Brentford versus Leicester.
I got that one wrong.
Well, there's only one person who got that right, Antonio.
Yes. I'm telling you, you guys put too much faith in Brentford and Christian Eriksen. I like them, don't get me wrong, but...
stop there. He didn't play though, did he?
No,
he did not.
Yeah, COVID. So if I'd known that before my prediction...
You might have changed your mind, right?
Yeah. So, and then the last one, Spurs versus West Ham. Now, Spurs won 3-1, but this is a lot to do with West Ham winning in the Europa League. on Thursday night. Got tired. Extra time, winning an extra time. So they were tired.
Yeah.
Given any credit to Tottenham.
Right, they were tired.
But to be fair, Tottenham are on a roll at the moment.
And West Ham is one of those teams where they don't have the depth to be able. So for them, it's like, you know what? We're making a run in Europa League. Let's focus on this and stay with it.
That's what they're going for.
Yeah.
Another big result last week, Everton won 1-0.
Yep.
And they scored in the, was it 99th minute?
Added time.
Yep. Alex Iwobi scored.
And then Chelsea won 2-0 in the FA Cup.
Yes.
Lukaku scored.
Yeah, he scored a goal. Liverpool won against Notts Forest.
Yep.
Yep. Everton, 99th minute, Iwobi.
Iwobi, yeah.
That's crazy.
So down the bottom's a little bit more messed up there. Do you have the league there?
So Everton right now in 17th place with 25 points. Leeds saved themselves with the 3. They're at 16 points, or 16th place with 29 points. What do we have? 8 weeks left?
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, Norwich City is pretty much...
they're down.
They're gone.
Yeah. But Burnley, Watford still have a chance.
The fact that Burnley has 3 games in hand is... they really do have a chance.
They do have a chance, yeah. I mean, it only takes like 1 or 2. I know they haven't had 1 or 2 wins all season, but 1 or 2 wins and you get there.
It seems like Newcastle may have saved themselves.
Yeah, they're safe now. But I'm not... I mean, Leeds could still go down. Everton could still go.
But here's the thing. Between Brighton, Newcastle, Brentford, Leeds, and Everton, they're all so close to one another that, I mean, this is really going to be a race to the finish for relegation. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. So I can tell you right now, the flip-flop, Norwich City is going to get relegated. Fulham's going to come up. Fulham right now is at 77 points in first place in the championship.
No, don't tell me that.
They're a good little team.
Fulham. That means we have to give Anguissa back.
Is that right?
If they come up, I'm sure they're going to want Anguissa.
Does Napoli have the option to buy?
I think Napoli was not willing to pay the amount that is in the contract for the option to buy.
Say your goodbyes now then. And then we have Bournemouth, is that correct? Bournemouth.
Bournemouth, yeah.
And then Luton Town, how do you pronounce that?
Luton Town.
But they're tied in third with Huddersfield.
Luton Town, I mean, that's...
63.
Luton's been... Sheffield, for years,
Sheffield United is in fifth with 61 points with 8 games left, right? No, I think their season's almost over. They've already played 39 games.
Yeah, but they've got a lot of games. More teams. If Luton go up, I remember going to watch Arsenal-Luton in the Littlewoods Cup final and Arsenal lost 3-2 to Luton. We were 2-1 up, missed a penalty and they come back on 3-2. That is my worst memory.
Wow, they play 46 games in a season.
Yeah, they play like 2 a week. It's crazy.
So how does it work for those teams? Do the top 3 come up or do they have like a playoff
top
series?
Top 2 and then a playoff. Okay. Yeah, the next 4 playoff.
Wow.
Who's in 6th? How many points are the difference?
6th is Blackburn at 61 points.
Blackburn is what, the Rovers?
Yep. Yeah.
And how many teams are close to them below?
Below them?
Yeah, like...
Middlesbrough is at 59 at 7th. QPR is at 59. And Nottingham Forest is at 58.
So they've all got something to play for.
They all do. I mean, Nottingham Forest, they're on a pretty good win streak here, win tight ratio. If they continue, they can jump up to fourth place, third place. Third place is only 4 points away.
Oh. I mean, that's what's good pretty about tight. Playoffs. I mean, I like it that they've got the 2 teams guaranteed to go up.
Right.
But then the other 4, it's nice of a playoff.
Yeah, no, it is nice.
Interesting.
I'd love to see QPR back in the Premier League.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
Yeah,
Derby County's in last place. They're going to get relegated again.
But they lost all their points, didn't they?
Yeah.
21 or whatever it was, or 23.
So they're at 25 points right now.
How many points did they have taken off them? I think it says it.
No.
It's like 21 or 23 points. I mean, that could be Everton, couldn't it?
Could be.
What was you saying last week, Anthony? Concerning their money issues?
Yeah, that they can get relegated, not having enough, bankruptcy issues.
All right, well.
We do want to let everybody know that we're going to have a guest on, hopefully next week. That's the way it's looking.
Right. It's going to be a little bit of a surprise for you guys, but we're going to bring on a little bit of more soccer/calcio intel onto the show.
Yeah, he's the president of ASD Nocerina.
Yep.
Which is based in the Campania region, right outside of Napoli. They are a Serie D team. They're doing pretty well right now. I think they're like on a 5-game win streak. It'll be exciting. We'll bring him on. We'll talk. We'll pick his brain.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So from us here at Sava, have a good one.
Later, guys.
Thank you.